Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word to the Old Testament prophecy of Jeremiah, and the chapter number 23. And we're going to read from verse 1 of that chapter, chapter 23 of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. And we're reading right down to the end of the verse number 8. And I encourage you to get out your Bible, look up the portion, read along with us, and we pray as you read that God would bless and that God would speak through his word. Jeremiah chapter 23 and the verse number 1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries, whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. This is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all the countries whither I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 8. Our prayer is that God will bless this reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. Now, the text of Scripture I want us to consider this evening are the final words there of verse number 6 of Jeremiah chapter number 23, where it says, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Now, in the Bible, you find many wonderful and many tremendous titles of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And one of these tremendous and most blessed titles is found in our text this evening here in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6, where it says, the Lord our righteousness. In this chapter here before us, Jeremiah the prophet, he tells of God's woe upon those pastors in Israel who had destroyed and scattered the flock of God's people. Look at what he says to them and about them in verse 1 and 2 of the chapter. He says, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my flock. Ye have scattered my flock and have driven them away and have not visited them. And behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. Then after this, we see how Jeremiah goes on and he tells of how in mercy God would give his people pastors, indeed spiritual shepherds, who would be a blessing to them in future days. And he makes mention of that in verse 4 of the chapter. He says, I will set up shepherds over them, what shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, as saith the Lord. And then following on from this, we see how there is the promise of salvation, the promise of deliverance for God's ancient people. And this salvation, this deliverance, is through the Lord himself. And Jeremiah makes mention of this in verses 5 and 6 of the chapter. He says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. And there you see how it is at the end of verse 6 of the chapter, we have this wonderful title. And can I say it is a title that belongs solely to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who is the heir of this title. And the title is this, that it says there that his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. With such words here we see how ancient Israel were being told, instructed from the tongue of Jeremiah, the faithful prophet of God, that the Lord was their righteousness. What a title. A title that belongs exclusively to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And can I say that these words just were not for God's ancient people in the day of the prophet Isaiah, but these same words are also for all God's redeemed people. Dear believer in Christ tonight, can I say this? This is your portion in Christ. Yes, the Lord is your righteousness. As you think of the Lord Jesus Christ and think of him as your Savior, indeed you can say in the words of our text, that the Lord our righteousness. That is the same blessed, indeed glorious title of Christ that I want us to look at this evening. As we think then upon these words, the Lord, our righteousness, there are three important truths, I believe, in these words and connection with them for every believer, every child of God to consider. First of all, we can say that these words really remind the believer of his need of righteousness before God. Our text says, the Lord, our righteousness. And dear believer, here you and I are confronted with our own personal need of righteousness before God. And you and I, yes, we needed our righteousness before God. Why? Because we were born into this world, sinners by nature and sinners by practice before Almighty God. If you turn in your Bible over to Romans chapter number 3, you'll see this for yourself from the Word of God, Romans chapter 3, the third chapter of the book of Romans. Look with me, please, at verses 10, 11, and 12 of the chapter. Here Paul is writing a statement that really applies to all mankind. And he says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Then verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And dear believer, tonight those words there describe your natural condition, indeed my natural condition in the sight of God. We are sinners by nature and practice before Almighty God. This sinful state is something that we have inherited through the fall of our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says in verse 12 of Romans chapter 5, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. And this sinful nature is something that has separated us from God. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. And this sinful nature really means that we are unable to live for God's glory ourselves in and through our own strength. We are unable to live to the glory of God. The Apostle Paul highlighted that very fact in his own life. In Romans chapter 7 verse 18 when he says, how to perform that which is good I find not. And there he's really saying, naturally speaking, he was unable to live for God's honor and God's glory. Also, we can say further that this sinful nature really means that we cannot please God ourselves. Listen to what is said in Romans chapter 8, verse 8. It says, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And that means we cannot please God ourselves because of our sinful nature. You think also of what the prophet Isaiah himself says in Isaiah chapter 64 in the verse number 6, he says there, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And what is Isaiah saying there? What's he telling us? That in and of ourselves, we cannot please God. Even our righteousness, the very best we may do or think we may do, it cannot please Almighty God. And then we can say further that our sin by nature and practice, it is something that condemns you and I to death before God. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Not only does it condemn us to death, but it condemns us to eternal separation from God in that place which the Bible calls hell, the place of eternal punishment and judgment for sin. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. And dear believer in Christ tonight, can I say this, that yet this was your state, indeed my state by nature, before a holy God. Indeed, yes, we can say this is the condition of all men, of all mankind, by nature before God. This is a truth that the hymn writer realized, for he said, no righteousness in me is found. In other words, he was saying, was nothing in himself to commend God's favor and blessing. Again, the hymn writer could say, I am all unrighteousness, vile and full of sin I am. Again, he knew himself to be a sinner lost and undone before a holy God. And dear believer in Christ tonight, yes, it is because of our sin by nature and practice, because of its awful effects and ruin in our lives, that you and I need this righteousness, which our text speaks of tonight when it says, the Lord our righteousness. Yes, we see here the need of righteousness before God. Yes, these words remind us of our need of righteousness before God. But we can say further tonight in the second place that these words in our text, they also remind the believer of the provision of righteousness before God. Look again at what is said there in Jeremiah 23, verse 6. It says, the Lord our righteousness. And you'll notice there in the text that the word Lord is spelt with capital letters, and that is a specific reference to Jehovah. Jehovah who is Christ. And that really shows us there that the Lord Jesus Christ is the source of every believer's righteousness before Almighty God. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was none other than God manifest in the flesh. And as such, the Lord Jesus Christ was one who kept every precept of God's law. He kept the law of God perfectly. Listen to his testimony in verse 29 of John chapter 8. He says, for I do always those things that please him. And all through the scripture you see reference being made to the fact that he was without sin. He did no sin. He could do no sin. He kept the law of God perfectly. Then as the perfect Son of God, he paid in full the penalty of God's law for us by his death upon the cross. When he cried out, it is finished, he died for guilty sinners upon the cross, and he paid the ransom price, the price of redemption in full. The Bible says, this man offered one sacrifice for sins forever. And all of this, what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? He satisfied God's justice, and he has provided a perfect righteousness for all God's people. Therefore, believer, whenever you came as a repentant sinner to Christ, and whenever you trusted Christ as your own and personal Savior, what did God do? Yes, God imputed the righteousness of Christ, the perfect righteousness of Christ, to you. My, just as a bride is adorned with a spotless white wedding dress on her wedding day, So, believer, the moment you trusted in Christ for salvation, God, he adorned you with the robe of Christ's perfect righteousness. Turn with me in your Bible back to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61 and the verse number 10. And you'll see here how Isaiah testifies of this very fact in his own life. Look at what he says in the middle of verse 10 of Isaiah chapter 61. He's speaking here of the Lord, and he says, "For he hath clothed me," he says, "with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels." Oh, he's testifying of the fact here that he was robed and covered and arrayed and adorned in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The testifying of this very same fact, the hymn writer could say, "Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress." And dear child of God, as you listen in tonight to this message, understand this, that this is your portion also tonight in Christ. As it says in our text, the Lord is our righteousness. In other words, the Lord is your righteousness. Oh yes, we see here the provision of righteousness for the child of God before God is in Christ. The Lord God Jehovah in Christ and in Christ alone. Yes, the need of our righteousness before God, the provision of righteousness before God. But one final thought, and it is simply this, the blessings of the Lord upon the believer. Yes, the blessings of the Lord upon those who are arrayed in the righteousness of Christ. What are those blessings? Well, our text says there, the Lord, our righteousness. And believer, when the Lord is your righteousness, can I say that this means great blessing, tremendous blessing. What are some of those blessings? Well, it means a perfect pardon for all your sins before God. Listen to what the Lord says to those who are arrayed in the righteousness of Christ. In Isaiah 43, verse 25, he says, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins." It means, yes, the forgiveness of all of your sins. What a blessing flows from being arrayed in the righteousness of Christ. The forgiveness, the blotting out of all your sins. To be arrayed in the righteousness of Christ also means a title to a place, to a mansion in heaven. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It also means to be fully accepted with God. And Ephesians 1 verse 6, it says of God, "He hath made us accepted in the beloved, and the beloved there is Christ, the one who has provided a perfect righteousness for you and I who are saved." Then there's also the blessing of victory over every accusation of Satan against us. You see, whenever we are saved, yes, Satan, he attacks. He attacks our mind. Indeed, he brings to our minds our past sins, and he would seek to cause us to even doubt our salvation and to disturb our peace before God. Well, with the Lord as our righteousness, we have victory over such attacks upon our hearts and minds as the people of God. Turn with me over to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8, and look there at verse number 33 and in the verse number 34, look at what is said here. And it says in verse number 33 of Romans chapter 8, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" And God's elect are the people of God, those who are saved. It says, "It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." And my every false charge that Satan would lay against the child of God is overcome because of Christ, because it is God who justifieth his people through Christ, through the blood and through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You think of what the hymn writer says, They could say, whenever Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. And the hymn writer there was speaking of Christ, the one who has made an end, a perfect atonement, a perfect covering for all their sin. Oh, believer, whenever Satan attacks your mind with doubt and indeed with despair, remember this, that the Lord is your righteousness. Remember this, that the Bible says you are complete in him. You are accepted with God through Christ, through his perfect righteousness. Believer, keep this truth before you, that the Lord is your righteousness. And yes, you'll be encouraged to serve the Lord in your Christian life. Turn back with me to Psalm number 71. Psalm number 71 and the verse number 16. Look at what the psalmist says there in Psalm 71, verse 16. He says, I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. And here the psalmist is going forward to serve the Lord, to do the Lord's bidding. And he goes forward, not resting in his own righteousness, but resting on the righteousness of the Lord. It gives him confidence and boldness and courage to serve the Lord, to step out in faith and do the Lord's bidding in his life. And dear believer in Christ, keep this truth before you, that the Lord is your righteousness. It'll encourage you to be zealous for God and your service for God and witnessing for the Lord and serving the Lord by whatever opportunity comes your way in life. Also, believer, child of God, keep this truth before you and you'll be encouraged in prayer. Encouraged to seek the Lord, to seek God's face in public prayer and indeed in private prayer. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 16. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because of Christ, our great high priest, because of his perfect righteousness, you and I are accepted before God in prayer, and we can come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Also, child of God, keep this truth before you that the Lord is your righteousness, and you will know great joy in your Christian life. Even in the storms of life and the difficulties of life, you will know that joy unspeakable that the Bible talks of and full of glory. Yes, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Turn back again to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61 and the verse number 10. We've already mentioned there in the middle of that verse how Isaiah was speaking of being clothed and adorned with the righteousness of the Lord. But look at how he begins verse 10 of Isaiah chapter 61. He says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. He says, my soul shall be joyful in my God. Why? For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. He was rejoicing in the Lord, rejoicing in the righteousness of the Lord that had been imputed to him. Believer, keep this truth before you, and the joy of the Lord will be your strength day by day in your Christian life. Also, believer, we would say to you tonight, keep this truth before you, that the Lord is your righteousness, and you will have great confidence in the hour of death, the time when you come to leave this world and leave this scene of time. Listen to what David says, and Psalm number 17 and the verse number 15, he says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. David had confidence in death. Why? Because the Lord was his righteousness. And through the Lord, his Savior, and through the righteousness of Christ, the way was opened up for him into glory, into heaven. When he had passed through the valley of the shadow of death, he could say, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He had confidence. And he would come to depart this world, the scene of time. But because of the blood and the righteousness of Christ, he'd be in heaven, be in glory, and be with Christ, which is far better. Dear believer, dear child of God, can I say, yes, it is the greatest of all blessings to be able to say of Christ, the Lord is our righteousness. Oh, believer, the Lord is your righteousness. Rejoice in this. Confide in this. Keep this truth ever before you day by day. And the Lord will bless you. And the Lord will encourage you. Indeed, you'll be spurred on to live for Christ and serve the Lord in our day and generation. Unsaved friend, let me say to you tonight, if this is to be your portion as well, indeed, if you are to know the pardon of all your sins, if you're to know peace with God, the certainty of a home in heaven, then as a repentant sinner, you must turn by faith to Christ and trust in Him alone for salvation. This was the testimony of the Apostle Paul. This is what Paul did. Turning your Bible over to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Here in the early part of this chapter, Paul is speaking of his religious credentials, what he was as a Jew. But then he says these things could not save him, and now he turned his back upon them all that he might win Christ and know the righteousness of God that is found in and through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what he says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. He says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." For salvation, Paul was not depending upon his own righteousness or any self-righteousness of self or of man, no. He was depending upon the righteousness of Christ. His faith, his trust was in Christ alone for salvation. Unsaved friend, tonight this too can be your testimony also. If you'll but come to Christ and trust Him as your own and personal Savior, then you too will be able to say of Christ, the Lord our righteousness. Yes, you'll be able to say with the hymn writer, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." Thank you tonight for listening. And may God bless His word to your heart and to your soul for Jesus' sake. Amen. Just before we close in prayer, I want to leave just some prayer requests with you. Matters just for you to pray about and to bring before the Lord in prayer. Do please pray for the sick connected with our own congregation here in Bethel. Do please pray for our sister, Mrs. Olive Maxwell. Her cancer has returned, and she hopes to start treatment for that next week in February. So do pray for her that that treatment will go ahead and that it will be owned and blessed of God to restrain this illness, and that she and her family will know the strength and the grace of God at this time of need. Do remember also our brother, Mr. Harold Wilson, as well, as he continues on with his cancer treatment. Do pray also for Mrs. Cook and Mrs. Hicks in hospital. And do pray, please pray also for James and Esther Little as they recover from the COVID virus as well. Pray for the bereaved and our congregation. They'll know God's comfort. Do please pray for our online services and the youth fellowship, the Sunday school, and the Bethel Children's Crusade. Our sister Jillian, she ministers there in the DVD ministry. The DVDs go out week by week to the children and to the homes, that God will bless His word. And do please pray also regarding the COVID situation in our land, that God in mercy might restrain this at this time. And remember our missionaries at home and abroad, that God's blessing would be upon them. Maybe you could remember very especially our churches in North America, United States and Canada, that God would bless them and encourage them, many of them in small groups, small congregations, seeking to be a faithful witness for the Lord. Pray the Lord would bless them and that the Lord would strengthen their hand in God. We'll just seek the Lord in prayer before we bring our meeting to a close this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us around the Word of God tonight. Bless Thy Word to our heart. We thank Thee for Christ, Jehovah Sekenu, the Lord, our righteousness. Help each and every one of us who are saved day by day to keep our focus upon Christ, not upon ourselves or upon our circumstances, but upon the Lord, the one who is our righteousness, the one who has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Father, we thank Thee that He is our all in all. For any Lord listening in online tonight, unsaved, speak to them. May they come to rest and to trust in the blood of Christ and in the righteousness of Christ alone for their salvation. Lord, we bring before Thee these matters for prayer. Remember the sick of our congregation. Remember Sister Olive at this time. Bless her. Be with her. Be near her. Undertake for her as she commences her treatment in the will of the Lord. Give healing. Give help to her and Colin and all the family, we pray. May they know the strength of the Lord and the presence and the blessing and the grace of God being their portion. Remember Harold as well, Lord, as he continues with his treatment. Lay your healing hand upon him. This treatment be successful. Bless his wife Eileen and all the family as well. And encourage them in the Lord, we pray. We pray also, Lord, for Mrs. Hicks in hospital and Mrs. Cook. Remember them for good and touch them and strengthen them. And bless them and give them help and healing at this time. We pray also, Lord, for the bereaved, those in recent times from our congregation who have lost loved ones. Lord, be near them and strengthen them. We pray for the online ministry, the Sunday school, the Bible class, the youth fellowship. Lord, we do ask Thee for Thy blessing upon the Bethel Children's Crusade and the DVDs as they go out week by week to the boys and girls. That in all these things the blessing of God will be known, that souls will be saved, that people will come to Christ, and that Thy kingdom here in this part of Thy vineyard would be extended for the glory of God. Remember the COVID situation. Intervene in mercy, Lord, and restrain this virus at this time in our land, we pray. And again, Lord, bless our missionaries at home and abroad. Put Your hand upon them. We pray especially for our churches, our sister denomination there over in North America and Canada and the United States of America. Bless them. Bless every servant of Thine that labors there, that is connected with us. Meet their every need. Encourage them in the Lord and use them wherever they are to see Thy cause maintained and Thy cause strengthened and the gospel spread to the saving of precious souls. Lord, watch over us each one. Keep us safe day by day, and are going out and are coming in. And bless our homes and bless our families. Do unite them all in the Lord. And be with us, Lord, and watch over us and encourage us in the ways of the Lord. Help us to live to Thy glory day by day until we meet again around the Word of God. This we pray and this we ask in the Savior's precious and wonderful name. Amen.